All right, here is your 1 minute warning. I don't know what I'm warning you about. Warning to get back in your seat, I guess. So.
Mike,
that was
scary.
That what? It was almost scary. 1 minute warning. That goes along with today's theme. So. All right. I love how social and how talkative our church is. You guys ever notice that?
Yeah.
I was standing around the other week after service, and I was kind of looking around, and it was really cool because for like 15, 20 minutes after service, I just watched, and people just sat around and talked. I think that says a lot. I think it's pretty amazing, guys, that God has brought this group of people together, and just the fellowship and the love is incredible. And I am excited to be back here preaching. It's been about 4 weeks, so I had a little preaching vacation, which I really enjoyed. I'm also going to work on pulling the mic away from my mouth, so it's not so loud. I really enjoyed. Nick Hendricks told me if I stick my tongue out and I touch the microphone with it, that it's too close. So if you guys see me doing this, okay, it's don't judge me, okay? So, and ironically, today's message is all about judgment. I'm going to move this mic too for the band so they know that, because it's going to kill me otherwise. So I'm excited to be back, and I actually have had a series of messages that I've been wanting to preach, and this is not one of them at all, actually. And this message, I really tried to get away from it, meaning it was something that God was kind of convicting me about pretty immensely, and it was something that I didn't really want to preach on. I really, really, really didn't. And the more I resisted it, the more I felt God's hand in my heart saying, Mike, this is what you need to talk on. This is something we all need to hear. So the title of today's message, guys, is Judgment and Mercy, okay? So, I don't do it, right? There you go. Yeah, whew, easy to say. But this is, honestly, I have no problem coming up here and embarrassing myself in front of you guys, obviously. We've had probably far too many personal conversations about my hygiene or issues or whatever. You guys know me probably better than most people do. But telling you guys about something that I personally am not good at, meaning that I judge, and we'll go into that more. You'll see how ugly of a person I am at times during this. It's really hard. I don't think anybody likes to do that. But before we get too heavy and get into this, I do like to generally start my messages with something a little bit more lighthearted. And one of the things that goes along with the theme of what we're talking about here is in judgment is I've had these observations of my kids recently. And I'll go into detail. There's three separate things I'm going to share with you guys. So the first was this last week, my daughter on Tuesday started preschool, kindergarten, and she's six, and I was like, in my mind, I was like, this is no big deal, right? Like, it was a big deal, but I mean, like, emotionally, I didn't think it was going to be something hard for me. I didn't think it was going to, you know, be any big deal. So we go, and we take her to her first day at school, and I take her into her classroom, and like, immediately, I start getting emotional. And my wife's fine, ironically, which is the weird part, but I am very emotional, and I can just start feeling these tears welling up, and I'm like, pull it together, man, get it right, what's wrong with you? And I start getting a little bit teary-eyed, and I look down, and my daughter's standing there, and she's a little bit nervous, you know, she's scared a little bit, and I kneel down, and I just give her a hug and just tell her I love her, and she pats me on the back, and she goes, it's okay, Dad. And it just taught me, like, man, where did she observe that from? She observed that from somewhere, right? That behavior. She comforted me. The second thing that happened this week, a little bit funnier, more lighthearted, was it wasn't this week. It was actually a couple weeks ago. My daughter Emma, who is our little firecracker, she's four. We were sitting outside and we were eating dinner on our porch. And she was sitting there and we've been trying to encourage our kids to drink more milk. Like that's something they don't do a very good job at. And we want their bones to be strong. We want them to grow. So I'm like, Emma, you really need to drink your milk. And I just looked down. She's got this big old huge milk mustache. Got a big smile, and she's holding her pink cup. And I'm like, Emma, you did such a good job drinking all your milk. She kind of lifts it up, and she's like, thanks, Daddy. And she goes, cheers, you did such a good job drinking your wine. And just the way she said it just absolutely cracked me up. And I'm like, she observed what was going on, right? I was kind of shocked by it. And then the third thing happened actually just this morning. So I got out of bed and was getting up, and I go out into our kitchen, not into my child's bedroom, in her kitchen, and my daughter Emma had 9 dresses, different dresses, laid out on the floor. And I'm like, what are you doing, honey? She kept going back in her room, getting another dress, going back in her room, getting another dress, going back in her room, getting another dress. She laid them out all on the floor out in her kitchen. She goes, Daddy, I just can't decide. Would you help me pick a dress for church? And I said, sure, honey. So I go over and I'm looking at them, and really what I'm trying to think about is like, what's probably the most appropriate thing to wear for church? And I pick out this dress and I'm like, Emma, I really like this one. And she kind of looks at it and puts her hand on him. She's like, no, that one's not very good. So, and she goes over and she gets one, and then she goes, I'll go ask mommy. So she goes and asks mommy, and mom comes out, and she says the same thing. And mom goes, I really want this one. And fortunately, she picked the same one I did. And Emma goes, yeah. So I just made up her own mind. She was picking the blue one no matter what. And what was the funniest part about that, I'm like, where did this genetic predisposition of a woman who's 4 years old to have a difficult time picking out dresses come from? So it's sure not me. And it just really reminded me that I can't tell you the number of times my wife's been like, hey, would you help me pick out a dress? Should I wear this or this to this wedding? Should I wear this or this to this event? And almost invariably, when I pick one, she will pick the other. And I'm like, where did my four-year-old learn this behavior, right? So there is definitely something to be said about your children, and not just your children, but those around you. They will observe your actions and your behaviors, and they in turn may learn how to respond because of those. So where does that come into judgment and mercy, guys? Think about that for just a moment, right? Woo! That's a powerful thing if you're a parent, or even if you just have anybody around you who you love, you interact with. Judgment and mercy, sometimes people look at us and they say, well, how did they act in that situation? That's what these things made me really realize about my kids. They look at us as their parents and they say, well, how did mom and dad act in that situation, right? So heavy stuff to begin with, but also kind of fun stuff. We get to learn a lot from this. And where we're going to jump in today is Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. So we'll go to the next slide. And we're going to have it up here on the screens if you want to read along, or if you want to open your Bible. You can also open your app, your Missing Church app, and we should have the notes in there too. And this is the NIV version is what I'm going to be reading from. So we're going to start in verse 37. If you guys want to read and follow along on the screens, we'll start there. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A measure, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 39, next slide. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Verse 41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It's a great, great verse of scripture. Do you guys go ahead and bow your heads? We're going to pray over this morning, and then we'll jump into this further. Father God, we just humbly come before you, Lord. This is a tough subject for us, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word. We know that your word never returns void, Lord, that you always have something to teach us in it. Jesus, help our hearts to be soft to that. Help our minds to be open to what it is that you have to speak to us, Lord. I pray that these words wouldn't be my words, Lord, but they would be yours, and that this morning would glorify you, Lord, and lift you high. May we walk out of here changed and different, Lord, knowing that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and you have so much to teach us. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for this time. In your son's name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, so judgment and mercy. Don't be judging my pink water bottle up here, okay? I see you. So you probably are used to it. This is what happens when you live in a house with women. So everything's pink, and that's okay. So I want to share this story, guys, and this is the hardest part of this whole message for me. I want to share this story with you guys, and before you start judging, okay, I'm going to ask ironically for grace from you guys. Because you hear this story, you're going to be like, wow, that's an ugly story. It is an ugly story. And what happened was recently, my wife and I, we've kind of been on the wedding circuit this summer. We've gone to a bunch of different weddings, and a lot of them have been great. We've really enjoyed them. And I'm normally a person who loves weddings, but I really like weddings when we don't have to take our children. Anybody else? Could I get amen from any parents? So it's a lot more fun, maybe when I can take my kid or go without my kids. And I was excited to go to this wedding, and I was a guest of my wife. I didn't really know the couple that was getting married. And I was excited. It was a great menu. No children was going to be a blast. And upon arrival to this wedding, I kind of immediately started feeling my mind go into what I call judgment mode. Does anybody have a judgment mode? You raise it, like judgment mode. Okay, it's just the attitude I was in for some reason that day. I don't know why. And again, this whole story here, guys, is going to probably make me sound like a terrible human being. So again, just asking for grace. But the first thing I began thinking was this immediate thought of judgment. And I thought, wow, those bridesmaid dresses look terrible. Okay? And for me to notice that says a lot because I'm a guy. I'm not usually that observant. But I conferred with my wife and she goes, yeah, she reassured me. They're pretty bad. Okay? Secondly, the ceremony started and it started late and it was hotter than blue blazes. I don't know why we get dressed up and go to weddings in the summer in a suit and you're like, oh my gosh, it's 90 degrees. And the ceremony began, and I immediately noticed that it was very strange. They had this almost comedy or satire-like ceremony. And there was no mention of Jesus and kind of a blatant disregard for the sanctity of marriage and what God intended it to be. And I immediately felt this like welling up inside myself, this judgment and this strong kind of what I would call self-righteous judgment that was very destructive and negative and condemning. And not in a good way. Like, I was ugly. I just kind of felt this inside of me. And at first I was angry. I was kind of sad. And then I was like, how dare they? How dare they? They're completely ignoring God. They're ignoring Jesus. They're ignoring the entire meaning and foundation of marriage. And the ceremony continued, and my self-righteous judgment continued, along with my own complaints about how sweltering and hot it was and how uncomfortable I was, both physically in the heat and mentally in the nature of the ceremony. So once the ceremony was over, I went out and actually had to dry myself. I was dripping with sweat literally down the front and the back. All the guys there were too, so I didn't feel too bad, but it was terrible. And I went to the bathroom, dried myself off, and the night continued, and then, guys, guess what happened? My judgment continued too. So what was the next thing I was gonna complain about? And I didn't even really realize I was doing this. I started to judge the food. I thought, man, this food's really not that great for this nice of a venue. It should be a lot better than this. And then the party began, and I thought, gosh, this music's weird. like it just like flowed like one judgment into the next judgment. And then we had a good time, though. And then we went to the after party, and I started judging those around me. I'm like, these people are so out of control. I was like, I'm better than this. I shouldn't be here. What am I doing here? I had all of these thoughts, guys, and this is so completely ugly of myself. I thought I knew better than those around me, and I thought I was better than those around me. And honestly, the next day I woke up and I was so ashamed of my thoughts and what I had allowed to come into my heart and my mind that night. I was like, who is that person? I didn't even recognize them the next day when I looked back. And that morning, I just felt this tremendous sense of conviction and this realization that, guess what? I was just like the Pharisees that Jesus talks about all the time, the guys who were the religious leaders of the time who thought that they were better than everybody around them, who wore their robes out in public, who said these prayers to get recognition. They thought that they were better. And I'm going to go to the next slide here. We call it the Pharisee mentality. I had developed this. I thought I knew better than those around me, and I thought I was better. That's horrible. Like, that's hard for me to honestly admit and say. And it's something where I was like, how did I forget where I came from? How did I forget that I am an ugly sinner? How did I forget that Jesus has given me so much grace? And I forgot it like that. And the hardest part about writing this message is while I was writing it, I continued to judge people. This whole week, I was like judging. It was really, really tough. And I further thought, you know, I needed to go to my Bible. And this is really the good that came out of this was this message and this realization that, man, maybe this is not just me. But I went to my Bible and I started looking at, you know, what does Jesus really tell us about judgment? And what are some examples from the Bible on those who judge? And what does Jesus really have to say about that? That's what should matter. So I further thought maybe this would be appropriate because maybe I'm not the only person who struggles with judging. So go to the next slide. A little church honesty here. Has anyone here ever struggled with judging others? Okay, for those of you who don't have your hand up, you're lying, okay? Put your hand down. Number two, has anyone here ever felt like they were being judged? All right, good news. This message is 100% for all of you, okay? None of you are exempt from it. This is something we all struggle with. So let's go back to the text. We're going to go to Luke 37 through 42 again, and I'm going to read through this a little bit more intentionally and put some emphasis on some of these sentences, and we'll go through it. So Luke 37, starting there, Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." Now, I always read that, and I thought, that means that we're never supposed to judge. Like, that's how I had interpreted it before. And I'm going through this process. It's called hermeneutics, which is really trying not just to interpret the Bible as you interpret it, but to interpret it as Jesus actually said it, right? That's really important when we're reading the scripture, that we don't take it into our own context. Jesus isn't saying, don't judge. He's saying, if you judge, you will be judged, right? So the second sentence, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. I'm going to go into that word here in just a moment a little bit more. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. That's pretty straightforward. If you're willing to forgive easily, you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. And then Jesus uses this line. He says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Woo! There's a lot there. Jesus talks about judgment. He talks about condemnation. He talks about forgiveness. And he talks about giving within two sentences, right? And he gives us a lot there. Let's just take a moment and look at these two words, though, in the first two sentences, judging and condemning. So we're going to go to the next slide here. So these are two separate words, and a lot of times we use them synonymously, but they actually have a very different meaning. So judging, guys, is to objectively evaluate someone based on biblical standards of conduct and morality. Condemning, which is what I did at the wedding, forming a negative, usually self-righteous opinion about someone because they do not measure up to biblical standards. You guys see that? It's an opinion about someone. It's negative, and it's usually self-righteous. Versus judging, which is objective, meaning there's not an emotion in it, and it's based upon biblical standards of conduct and morality. So before we get into this too much further, I just want to say there's generally two camps in Christianity when it comes to this. And this is not universally true. But when I was reading and studying this scripture and reading lots of different theological takes on it, there's honestly one side or the other many times. And this is how many of us approach judgment. We're either on the hyper-conservative side, the hyper-religious side, or the legalism side, where we say, we're better than those around us because we're Christians. We know better, they're wrong, we're right, end of story. Now, the other side is the hyper-liberalized side, which is, well, we're just supposed to love everybody, and we should never judge anybody on anything, and we should just be okay with what they're doing because, you know, that's how we feel. Jesus is not saying either of those things. I think that's really, really, really important because this is a slippery slope and this is a difficult subject to teach on because people oftentimes take it as one way or the other. So what I'm hoping through examining the scriptures that we can see what does Jesus actually say about it, right? So we looked at those two words and then we look again at verse 42. Jesus says, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's really important. He just applied judgment, condemnation, forgiveness, and giving into that one sentence. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So how about this? The way in which we judge others and the standard that we hold them to will translate into how God will judge us. You ever thought about that? Woo, that's heavy. Just think about that for a moment. When was the last time you were in the midst of a situation or a circumstance and you had to take and stop for a moment, just reassess what you were going to say and just realize, you know what? Time out. I was going to say that, but you know, if I condemn them, I'm just as guilty. You ever stopped and said that? It's hard to do. How you judge matters, guys. That's really what we're getting at here. For the measure you use, it will again be measured to you. So here's the take-home truth. What Christ, what Jesus is really saying in the scripture is that we, as Christians, as human beings, are incapable of seeing a person's heart or knowing his or her relationship with God. You guys get that? We're incapable of it. We think we do, but we don't. No one but God himself and Jesus knows a person's heart or their relationship to God. We are not to take the place of God in making judgments about someone's motives or their eternal salvation. Their salvation is not your call, okay? Their salvation is not for us as mere human beings to say they're going to be saved or not. And we, as Christians, we should be humble knowing that our own sin and our own weaknesses, we have to take those things into recognition, guys, when it comes to judgment. Now, that being said, right, there are times that God calls us to discern others' actions. Calls us to discern their actions, not their hearts. You guys hear what I'm saying? There's a big difference between that. And we think a lot of times, we're right, they're wrong, right? I know that. And there's a couple examples that Jesus really says. There's several sections in the Bible where Christ very clearly basically alludes to this. So the first one I want to share is in Matthew 12:34. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you talk about the heart, what's in the heart oftentimes will come out of the mouth, right? So like what's going on in here oftentimes translates into what comes out here. Matthew 12:33, a tree is known by its fruits. So what's being produced in your life? Is it good? Is it bad? Are the actions congruent with a relationship with God? And there are times, guys, where God, again, calls on us to discern others' actions because of their effects on us. For example, the Bible tells us to avoid angry people and those whose sin may rub off on us. That's in Proverbs 22:24, 1 Corinthians 5:11-12 mention that. Hebrews 5:14 tells us that the spiritually mature are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The bad news is I'm starting to sweat, okay? This is bad, okay? Mostly because I feel convicted by this, right? So when we're talking about this, guys, number one, we are not to judge where a person stands with God. We don't know their heart, right? Very clearly, we do not know their heart because we are simply incapable of doing so. Number two, we must, though, as Christians, be able to discern both good and evil in the actions of ourselves. Got to look at yourself first and others in order to grow in wisdom and to avoid falling into problems ourselves. Do you guys get that? Yes? No? I'm just losing anybody? Okay. So here's the take-home truth then. The way in which we judge another's actions needs to be done through this process of discernment, not out of condemnation and self-righteous judgment. This is where we get in trouble. So we got to look at what did Christ do? So how did he discern without condemnation while showing love and correction appropriately? He talks about self-evaluation. He obviously is great with grace and mercy and humility and discernment, the Holy Spirit, the Father's telling of how we are supposed to act. And again, when grace and mercy come in, the humility part of this equation is often, in my opinion, where we as Christians get it wrong. We start to justify our judging of others as discernment. We say, well, I know God, so that's discernment. So sometimes that's right, meaning that his Bible is very clear, the word's very clear. But often, instead of seeking God's discerning will and what's right and wrong, we automatically make the assumption that they are wrong, we are right, and therefore they deserve to be judged, placing us in the position of God. While we truly do not know their heart, and at the very best, we probably don't even know part of the story, right? The whole story. And I really, for one, guys, don't think that Christ is saying we should ignore injustice, that he's saying that we should just go along blindly to the sin around us and just be okay with it. That's, again, not what Jesus is saying here. I think what he's saying here is you got to take a look at yourself first before you start to make any judgments of anyone else. Did you guys hear that? You need to take a look at yourself first before you start to make any judgment. So this was really exemplified, guys. There's lots of teachings on this, but the exemplified view is in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. We're going to put it up here on the screen. Verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. You guys see this? Jesus is there and he's down here and he starts writing something on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. We don't know if he wrote their sins. We don't know if he wrote their names. It doesn't tell us. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with a woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." I love that story. That's an amazing story. And I think the incredible part is Jesus' response in this story. So he, number one, helped these Pharisees. You can see these men bringing this woman, dragging her behind them, putting her in a circle that they were standing around, judging her, looking at her. How dare you? And in that day and age, that meant death for this woman. Like, that's literally what was the law. And you can see Jesus saying to these Pharisees, saying to these religious men, "You know, it's stoner, but the first of you to stoner, make sure you don't have any sin yourself." Right?
I'm listening.
So Jesus, I don't know if my phone's talking to me or what that is, or if there's something back there that's listening. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry if that's me. I keep hearing it.
I'm listening.
Okay, whatever that is. Okay. So what Jesus' response, I think it is somebody there. So this getting away, guys, really important. Jesus' response in this story is critical. He showed mercy and compassion in his judgment without condemning the woman while simultaneously showing her grace and forgiveness. So think about that for a moment. Jesus didn't say, "I agree with your sin." He didn't say your sin's okay. There's nothing that he mentions in there that says what you did was right. He judges the woman's sin, but he does not condemn her. He shows her grace and forgiveness in the midst of his judgment. That's amazing, guys. That's how we are supposed to act too. It's really hard. I'm not ever saying we're going to get there. But our judgment, guys, and our condemnation can oftentimes blind us. It can keep us from God or keep God from using us. And I want to give you an example here and what I mean by that. Sometimes we're like the Pharisees where we just think we are so right that we prejudge the person or the situation before we even know the whole story. So this happened to me recently. I had a patient come into the office, and I knew who this patient was. I had seen him before. And this patient was a known drug dealer, had been a drug addict, bad person by all societal standpoints, had done some really terrible things. And I knew, quote unquote, who this person was, so I thought, before I even went into the room. And I literally looked at the name on the chart and pretty much prejudged exactly how I thought the conversation was going to go. And specifically, I judged this person before I even walked into the room. And I walked into the room, and the reason why I smiled is because I felt God tremendous. Like, it's almost like he just reached in and he took my heart and was just like, "Nope, you need to love this person." And it was so weird. It was such a strange experience. I started talking to this person, and I'd known these things, quote unquote, that I thought I knew. And I just said, tell me about your life. It was a very strange conversation. It was not a normal doctor's office conversation by any means. I said, "Tell me about your life." And he said, "My life's been terrible." He was in 37 different foster homes. 37. 37. He had been abused sexually, physically, emotionally. He had shot up heroin at age 11. Okay? Age 11. And this guy's in his 40s, right? He had spent 30 years basically between living on the streets, in treatment centers, and in abusive relationships. And he had done some terrible things. He fully admitted all this to me, and he told me about it. What's so funny is I felt God in my own heart. I felt him place this question there. And I asked the guy, and I get emotional about it. Honestly, I do. And I asked the guy, I said, "Have you ever felt loved?" And he said, "No." This was a man in nearly his fifth decade of life, or in his fifth decade of life, who had never known what it meant to feel loved. You guys think about that? You know how many people in that man's life had judged him? You know how many times people had just automatically judged him because of what he had done or who he was? And I'm not saying what he had done or who he was good. But he had never been loved, guys. And in that experience, I got to actually pray with him and tell him about Jesus. And I don't know if it meant anything to him at all. But at least it was a seed that was able to be planted there. And the reason why I tell that is because I almost didn't let God use me because of my own prejudgment, right? I almost missed out on the opportunity to tell him about Jesus and how much God loves him. And maybe that's the only time or the first time that man has ever heard those words in his entire life. We can miss out on the opportunity to be used by God and to show his love for others because of our own prejudgment. If you don't take anything else away from this message, take that home. That's worthwhile right there. And it taught me a lot just from that one interaction. We need to first love others before we judge them, right? Amen. Amen is right. There should be a lot of amens there. So guys, moving on, we're almost going to close here in just a minute. I just want to touch on Luke 6:41. This is the second part. I love this scripture right here in this part of the scripture, and I think you guys will hopefully too when we get through it. It reads, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We'll go to this next slide here. I love this picture. Hey, bub, you have a little something in your eye there. You guys got to look at your own plank first. And I feel like this could be me and my brother right here, because we just love to pick on each other. But let's take a minute, just a minute here before we get ready to close and think about this, guys. How easy is it to see what's wrong with someone else, right? We can see their sin, we can judge their life or their situation while completely ignoring what's wrong with ourselves. Anybody know somebody like that? Anybody that person? Yeah, exactly. Gotta love the church honesty. We as Christians, guys, and again, I'm not just saying it's just Christians, a lot of people, but we as Christians, though, we're really terrible at this. How often do we think we know what's wrong with their lives? Because we know better. We could fix that. They need to go fix that. They need to change that. You know what I would do in that situation? Guys, Jesus is plainly saying here, we need to look at our own sin. We need to do some self-examination before we ever even begin to judge another and start thinking that we can fix their problems as well. How about we look at ourselves first, right? Amen. Yeah. So here's some take-home truths. We're going to recap. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to run through these really quick, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to close. And I think we should do communion today. So we're going to do communion today. So I'm throwing these guys off. So we're going to do it next week. So here's the application, couple take-home truths. Number one, you got to recognize, guys, the difference between judgment and condemnation. That's really important that we get those two things straight, judgment and condemnation. Number two, you got to, again, remember, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We need to look to Jesus and his examples for discernment when we do judge others, meaning that we need to go to God and really look at the example of how did Jesus handle these situations, not what do I want to do or how do I feel. We need to recognize the sin in ourselves first and that we often are the biggest hypocrites when it comes to seeing others sin, remembering that we, again, must examine our own sin in our own lives first. Jesus set the example of loving others even in judgment, and so we as Christians were also to follow his example of loving others even in judgment. Remember the woman, the prostitute? And lastly, guys, we are not God. We are in no way, shape, or form capable or have the ability to truly know someone's heart and their relationship with God. And in short, it is never, ever, ever our place to condemn someone, okay? Different than judgment. We are never to condemn someone, though. So, guys, in closing, what I was thinking about is may we go forth this week and try to love like Jesus loves us. Can we go forth this week and forgive like Jesus forgives us? And maybe go forth this week, and when we are sitting in a place where we feel like there's judgment on someone's actions, recognizing that that may not be correct, but examining ourselves first, and then if there is further prompting from the Holy Spirit, coming alongside that person in a loving way to correct them, not standing over them and self-righteous looking down on them. That is how we are called to judge. Amen? Amen. All right, church, let's go ahead and we'll bow our heads, we'll close in prayer, and we'll worship. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this time to get to hear your word. Thank you for your example of your son, Jesus, Lord, and what he has to teach us. God, we're not good at this judgment thing, admittedly so, at least I'm not. And I just need your help, and I hope that will be all of our prayer, Lord, that you would just help us to go forth in this life and to recognize, Lord, that We are not judged because of your grace and mercy, Lord. And help us in the times that we are called to judge others to do it lovingly, to do it where we come alongside one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage and love them first, Lord. We pray for the wisdom, for the discernment, for the guidance to do that. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and we'll stand and worship, and then we're going to close with communion.